Mack Hammond Ministries presents the teaching ministry of Lynn Hammond.
Tonight we're going to talk about how to be free and how to stay free in God. Hallelujah. Now I want to ask you a question as we begin here. How many of you can think of five people, five Christians that are totally free in God? No bondage. Totally and completely free in God. Would you lift your hand if you can think of five? All right, how many of you can think of four Christians that are totally free in God? Four of them. You know four. We got three people up here that know four. How many of you can think of three or two? Three or two? Few. How many of you can think of one Christian that is totally free in God? I am amazed at that, because the gospel message is the message of freedom. And yet here we sit tonight, and not one of us in here could think of five people that was totally free in God, no bondage. Very few could think of four or two or one. Isn't that interesting? Boy, that says a lot, doesn't it? Yet Jesus says that his message and that the truth and the word of God are freedom. And we don't know anyone like that. Too many. Well, we're going to look in our Bibles tonight at John in chapter 8 and verse 32. Very familiar scripture. And we're going to find out the way of freedom. He gives us, Jesus is very specific in his word about the way of freedom. We'll read from verse 31, and I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible tonight. John chapter 8 and verse 31. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him. Are you a believer tonight? Amen. Amen? If you abide in my word. Now that's just what the Spirit of God just said a few minutes ago. If you will abide in my word and hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. And then he said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is one way to freedom. There is one way that gets you out of bondage in your life. There is one way, church. There's not 40 different ways. The word of God here doesn't say your pastor is going to set you free. The word of God doesn't say your psychiatrist is going to set you free. The word of God doesn't say your doctor is going to set you free. It doesn't say the brethren. It doesn't even say that the laying on of hands is going to set you free. How about that? The word of God doesn't say singing and dancing is going to set you free, or nor does it say prayer is going to set you free. It says the only thing that is going to ever set you totally free in your life is the word of the living God. Now, I have found in my Christian walk, and from the very outset, the day that it began, that I could not live my life away from the word of God, and that a Sunday morning dose or a Sunday night dose was not going to be enough. I had to have the daily application of the word of God in my life if I was going to be free. Well, you say, I don't have time for the word. You don't have time not to have the word in your life, the way I look at it. You are going to have to stay in the word of God. And Joshua said the only way he could get free and prosper was to stay in it day and night. You say, I can't stay in the word day and night. Yes, you can. I did it. For 9 months I did it, day and night. Very little time did I sleep, because I couldn't. Most of you don't even know what that's like. But you can stay in it. You can stay in it. You say, well, if I don't have time to stay in it, I'm too busy in my life. I want to tell you the amount of time that you waste in your life. If you would spend the amount of time that you waste, just the time that you waste in the Word of God, that would be enough to make you free and to have you free all the time. Amen. Just the time that we waste. That doesn't count other times. people that they get into the Word and they'll get free for a little while, and then they'll back off of it. This is what's happening right today. People are backing away. They're backing off from the very thing that's got the life of God in it. This is the only thing that is going to minister life to you. It is the only thing that is going to minister freedom to you, is the Word of the living God. Hebrews 4:12. Turn over there and we'll look at that scripture. Very familiar again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word that God speaks is alive, and it is full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, that is, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and the purposes of the heart. The Word of God is full of power, man. It's full of power. You know, there are a lot of people seeking a lot of things to give life. Some folks think that exercise is going to give them life. Or the way they go about it, you know, they spend so much time at the spa, you'd think it was going to give them life. That's all they do. Then other people, they spend time eating. They think food is going to give them life. You ever gone to the city morgue and tried to give a dead man food? Did he get any life? Did that give him life to go in there and lift him up out of there and feed him food? That didn't give him any life. People want to go in the wintertime. They want to go to Arizona and Florida to get in a good climate. They think that's going to give them life. There's no life in that. What about rest? Hospitals are full of people resting. They're dying like flies over there. Where's the life? There's not but one place. This life that it comes is from the Word of God. And you're going to have to stay in it. And you're going to have to maintain your life with it every single day for it to work and for you to be free. And you know what? There are people in here tonight don't care if they're free or not. The Lord just spoke that to me. I don't really care if they're free. You know what? If you don't want to be free for yourself, you ought to be free for the world. Just so the world can see Jesus, you need to want to be free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, one of the most difficult things to make people understand, since we've been pastoring, this has been a most difficult thing for us, to make people understand that the Word and the Spirit of God are a tangible substance. It is real. It is as real as this. It is the essence, the very essence of God's being. It is substance, real substance. Now, you know, man, you and I are made up of a substance. Scientists say that, might sound kind of crude, but they say that we're made up of water and earth. That's what man is made out of. You know, 16 buckets of water and one bucket of earth. That makes 17 buckets of mud. Amen? Well, that's what we're made up out of. That's the substance. Some people are 18 buckets of mud. I shouldn't have said that, Lord. I'm sorry. But you see, God is of a substance. He is of a substance. Spirit things are of a substance. They are of a spiritual substance. Angels are of a spiritual substance. The Holy Spirit, He is a substance, and it is the substance and the being of God, the very presence of God. So that, you see, when the Word of God, when you get your Bible out and you begin to read and you begin to meditate the Word of God, He is imparting substance to you from this. It's just not a word on a page. You see, the Word of God says, Jesus says that we are partakers of His divine nature. Well, how are you going to partake? Right here. You are partaking of Him when you get into this. You are partaking of His very life and substance. So that when we talk about the Word of God in your life, in the Spirit of God being transmitted, we are not talking about a mental effect or a little spiritual influence. We're talking about power, man, being transmitted to you. Sometimes I just can't understand people. They have a little bottle with some little round pills in it. And they'll see the substance of those pills, and they'll drink that, and they'll believe that them swallowing that pill is going to totally and completely heal them. Well, why is it so hard for people to take this? And when you swallow this, believe that it's doing the same thing? I mean, there is a lot more substance in this than there is medicine. It's got life in it. You don't find many medicines with life in them. This is the life of God. Now, you see, I noticed from the Word, I was just sitting back here a while ago, and I was thinking about this. Most Christians don't know the tremendous capacity that the born-again man has in him to receive God. We have a tremendous ability and tremendous capacity to receive Him. All the way through the Scripture, the Lord talks about that. That's God's end, is transfiguration and transformation. That's His desire. That's His ultimate, is transformation in you. You being transformed. And so we can see from that Scripture, I believe it's over in Matthew, around chapter 17, of the transfiguration of Jesus. Now, you remember that the Spirit of God came upon Jesus so powerfully and in such a great manifestation that His clothes glistened and they shone, and His face was light. It was all bright and lit up, you see. Well, before a person can shine like that, before that glistening power can come through and manifest in the flesh, a person must be a recipient of that power. Jesus had to receive all of that power, and He had to receive all of that light and all of that glory. So we can see two things from that Scripture. We can see Jesus demonstrated the capacity that man has to receive God into his life. And then we see the capacity that man has to reveal God out of him to others. Do you see? The Spirit and the Word transmit life substance to you. Transformation is freedom. Now, I was born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything. In fact, I knew so little that when I was born again, I asked Jesus to come into my heart every day for 3 months, because I didn't know that you did it only one time. That's how ignorant I was, and no one was there to tell me anything different. And I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, never knowing of the Holy Ghost, and speaking in tongues. I knew that was the Holy Spirit, because I heard them say in that dead church I went to, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that's the way they said it, and they never talked about Him being a person or anything about Him too much. That was just it, you know. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you know. And so the way that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit was, I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I just wanted to know how to pray. When I got born again, the only way that I knew how to pray was to say, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. That's all I knew how to say. Lord, I want to serve you. Help me, Lord. I commit myself to you, Lord. Help me, Lord. And so I knew that there was more to say to God. And He would talk to me, but I couldn't talk to Him. And I wanted to be able to communicate freely with Him. And so I got up in the middle of the night one night, and it was almost like I was frantic, just down in here in my spirit. And I mean, the desire overwhelmed me to pray. I wanted to pray so much. So I went in, left the bedroom, and went into the den there, And I sat in this chair and I said, Father, I want to know how to pray. Would you teach me to pray? And when I did it, I went, ooh, just like this. I mean, I really did that. Oh, I thought, what was that? And then, you know, it was kind of fun to me. And so I would do it again. You know, but then I thought it was wrong. And I thought, what is that? This is this little language. And so Mac had a business partner, and he said, praise the Lord all the time. And his wife even said it more than he did. And so the next morning I knew to call her on the telephone. And I said, Michelle, I said, I got to tell you something. You have to tell me if this is God or not. And she started screaming on the phone, you know, just shouting. They had been praying for us for a long time. And she just started hollering on the telephone, you know, she knew. And she said, well, I told her what had happened. I said, I started praying last night. And I said, these words, I don't know how I did it, you know, started coming out of me. And she screamed all the more. The more I prayed in tongues, the more she screamed. And it was glorious. And from that day on, I've always used my prayer language. The devil has never, he's tried to tell me not to use it. Through several people, he tried to tell me never to use it, my prayer language. But I always kept doing it. I always kept using it. I knew there was power when you prayed in tongues. And so I kept on and I kept on. But as soon as I was baptized in the Holy Ghost on St. Patrick's Day, isn't that funny? As soon as I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, overnight, the enemy came into my life like a flood. I still don't know how he got in like that, except that I opened the door a lot of times to self-pity and griping and complaining. That's the only way that I even know that, you know, that I opened the door to it. But I was diagnosed by the doctors as a manic depressive, would move over into schizophrenia at times, but not so much, not hallucinations, but I was tranced quite a bit. And this depression came on me. I weighed 25 pounds less than I do now. I had bleeding stomach ulcers along with this depression, which kept my body hurting also at the same time that this mental thing was happening to me. And I was just skin and bones, and in the first 4 months of it, I had at least 3 nervous breakdowns. I don't know how many more I had. But I don't know if you know, I'm sure unless you've had one, you don't know what that means to have a nervous breakdown. But when you have a nervous breakdown, the enemy attacks your central nervous system, and you feel like all the inside of you is shattering. I don't know how else to say it. It's like all of you, all of your inward parts, everything, your hands, on the inside of you, it's like everything is breaking apart and falling. And you feel all the time like you're shaking. Okay? In fact, I would look at my hands to make sure, like when I was in public, that I wasn't shaking. Okay? But I was, because of this tremendous nervous condition, I was very timid and I was very shy. Never had been before in my life. Before I was born again, I was, very boisterous and gay and joy and everything. But I went very real inward. And of course, I was so thin, I didn't want to be around people, and I was so depressed. The enemy, I was suicidal, every kind of suicidal there was, you know, and I was. And there was no pills, there was nothing that they could give me that helped, nothing. There was nothing. People talk about cancer of the body, and they talk about how that the torment of it and the pain. Actually, mental illness is cancer of the mind, but yet there is nothing. There's nothing that helps. And it never leaves. That's the difference between cancer in the body and cancer in the mind, is that it never lifts. It never leaves, night or day. Now, at times it comes in greater manifestations, but it never lifts. It never lifts completely. Darkness would come over me. I was not demon possessed, but I was demon obsessed. I was obsessed with it. And when these demons, sometimes they would come in such great manifestation that I could hear them coming. And I did not know until the other night how to describe the sound of them coming. But last Wednesday night, Mac was preaching about scorpions and about the trumpet there, about the angel sounding this trumpet, and how I guess it's mid-trib somewhere in there. He's going to know how good I did my Bible lesson, huh? This angel would release this trumpet sound, and these demons would be loosed in the earth, and they would be it would be as the venom of a scorpion upon men, and these scorpion demons would attack 1/5 of the men in the earth. And it said that these men would want to die. And the Lord revealed to me during that teaching, I want to find that scripture. Honey, where was that in Revelations? I want to read something there to you that came to me the other night. Is it in 9 or is... You have to find the verse because I haven't got my Bible. I've got my Amplified.
Chapter 9, verse 3.
It says, then out of the smoke locusts came forth on the earth, and such power was granted them as the power the earth scorpions have. They were told not to injure the herbage of the earth. It's chapter 9, verse 4 is where I'm reading from. Nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only to attack such human beings as do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And these demons, now, they were not permitted to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months, and the pain caused them was like the torture of a scorpion when it stings a person. Well, the torture of a scorpion is that venom attacks the mind of a person and causes mental illness. That's what, big scorpions do. Okay, but I want you to hear about these demons. It said, this is what it talks about. It says, their breastplate resembled breastplates made of iron, and their noise made by their wings was like the roar of a vast number of horse-drawn chariots going at full speed into battle. Now, before Wednesday night, I was never able to describe the way that it would sound when those demons were coming. But I could hear them, and it sounded to me as if they were as far off as Boone Avenue. And I could hear them coming toward me. And this is what they sounded like, the sound of chariots. And I could hear them coming, and I knew the torment at the time that they would get to me was going to be so great that I would not be able to live through it. I knew that it was, and it was when they would come. It was like they would be pecking my brains out, is the way it was. Those things would scream at me, scream, the loudest screams you have ever heard. They would scream at me, and immediately I would pop right into a trance, and I would lay there, stiff as a board in my bed, unable to move. And I would hear the voice of God, and He would say, praise me. Here I'd be. And most of the time I'd put the pillow over my head. Oh, one interesting thing. When I would hold my breath, they would leave. You see, they were trying to kill me. And if I could get relief, sometimes I would have to hold my breath so that they would just leave, just for a minute. I mean, just for a sec. If they would just leave, just for a minute. So sometimes I would hold my breath to get relief. And I could hear these things come in, the torment, and I would go into a trance. And I would hear the Lord, though, even tranced. Even though I was tranced, I would be just a dull stare. I would be tranced. And I would hear the Spirit of the Lord, and He would say, praise me. You know, the Word says that praise stills the enemy. And I would try, He would say, lift your hand and praise me. That's what He would say. And I would try. It would take all of the weight that I had, every ounce of my flesh, pushing as hard as it was like I had 150-pound weights on my arms to lift and to say, praise you. But I found out that you cannot say, praise you, 25 times without the devil leaving. And that's the way I lived for 7.5 months. Now, all of this time, I knew that the word, and that didn't count all this, the crazy things I used to do. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I couldn't, the phone would ring, and I would hear it ring one time, and then I would kind of be tranced again, and I'd never hear it again. But I would go over there, and I would pick up the telephone, and I would forget that I was having a phone conversation and put it down and walk off and leave it. I would leave the clothes in the dryer for 3 days. Just bizarre. Just crazy. Well, I knew that the Word of God was my deliverance. I don't know how I knew that. I do not know how I knew the Word was my deliverance, but I knew it was. The doctor, I had a spirit-filled psychologist, and my psychologist was a Christian, and he said, I can give you pills to cope with life, but these pills will not heal you. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the only way. Hallelujah, I'm so glad I had him saying that to me, amen. And so I would begin reading the word, and sometimes I would read it all night. In fact, I would throw up all night. And so because of my bleeding stomach ulcers, and so I would sit my Bible up on the top of the John like this. And I would throw up in the John, and I would speak the word. And I would say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every time in between throw-ups, that's what I would say. Over and over and over. Night after night after night. I want you to turn to a scripture because we're going to flow with this. Turn to James chapter 1. Now I'm going to go over here to the process of God healing me and what happened. But I want you to see this in the Word. I can remember one night, I had to help. We had to have help in our home all of the time. If Mac wasn't there, somebody had to be with me. They didn't dare leave me by myself for 1 minute. And I can remember one night, the lady that came and stayed until 8 o'clock got sick, and she had to leave at 7. So I was there until Matt got home for an hour by myself, and all my kids, they were babies, and Lucy began to cry. She was a baby. She wasn't in a crib, but she was in a bed with a side railing on it. And I can remember that she began to cry, and I was there alone by myself, and it was as far as from here to the end of, to about midway the aisle to her bedroom. And I had to get up and go and tend to her. And when I got up to go and tend to her, I fell on the floor. And I was so weak in my, this is how weak I was. I was so weak in myself that I fell 3 times getting to her crib, getting to her, that bed there. Fell 3 times. And when I finally got to her, I just kind of fell over into the bed. And I stayed there until Matt got home. I couldn't get up. That's how weak I was. I just couldn't. But anyway, I want you to notice something here in James chapter 1. Notice it says, let me see now. Get rid of all, 21, James 1, 21. Get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your soul. Well, you see, this is what I needed. I was born again and I was spirit-filled, but I needed my soul to be saved. So one day, my mind, I don't know how to say this to you, but every thought that I had was evil. Every single thought was evil. You know, the Word says for us to think on things pure, honest, true, and of a good report. There was not one thing that I thought on that was pure, honest, true, and of a good report. Not one thing. There was not one. And so I put a rubber band on my wrist, and I found out that you didn't use a big rubber band because the big ones didn't pop hard. You used the little bitty, skinny, thin ones that you could pull way back. And so this is what I did. I would take a rubber band and I would put it on my wrist right here. Now this is how I began to renew my mind to the Word. And every thought that came to my mind that was not the Word of God, it would come. For instance, the devil would come and he'd say, "You're going to commit suicide today." He said that 5,400 times a day at least to me. "You're going to commit suicide today." I would rear back that rubber band as far as I could pull it without it popping, and I would pop myself right here on my wrist. And I would say, "No! In the name of Jesus Christ, I tread upon scorpions and serpents, and I have power over all the enemy." That's what I do. When those powers, when I would hear those demons coming on their chariots or whatever they're riding on, that darkness would start to come in there. I'd pull that rubber band back as far as I could pull it. By the first 4 or 5 hours, my wrist was so raw. I mean, it was so raw and bleeding and sore. And what this was a type of shock treatment. I did not know this, but after that, a while after that, a psychiatrist told me, he said, "You know what you were doing, don't you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "You were giving yourself shock treatment. You were shocking yourself into it." Because, you see, what would happen is before that thought would come to me, I would remember this pop of this rubber band. And I would remember how bad it hurt. And I didn't want to be popped again. And so I would begin to, see, I would, even sometimes I would threaten myself. I would pull it back, you know. I'd say, "Aunt, don't you have it? Don't you have that thought, see?" And I would pull that rubber band back and pop myself. And I did this over and over and over. And I had to wear long sleeves all the time and sometimes Band-Aids because it was so raw right here. But I would do that over and over, day after day after day. And do you know that after 1 month of doing that, 1 month, I began to get days that I was free. It only took a month. All that oppression, all that manic depressive, all of those mounds of frustration and nervous breakdowns, and all those things that those people had spoken over me, negative, 1 month. And you know, I didn't go shopping on those days that I did good. I stayed in the Word. It was like I would be arming myself up ready for the next one, for the next day, because I knew that I wasn't totally free in God. And I would arm myself up for the next day. I would read Scripture. I would quote Scripture. I would memorize Scripture. I would talk the Word. I would preach the Word. I would prophesy the Word. I just went with the Word, man. The Word, the Word, the Word. I would pray in tongues on all of those good days. So that when the enemy, he would come in at such a flood. It was like a flood, man. It would just cover me up, you know. And it would just be all I could do on those days just to stay on top of it. So I would stay in there with the Word of God. Now, I want to go through this. Some of you don't know what it is to meditate the Word and have never known it. You could be sitting under the Word for 5 years. This is what I do with the Word of God, also with the rubber band, but this is what I would do. In the morning, when I would get up, if there was any sleep at night, if I hadn't been in the Word all night, sometimes I'd read it 16, 18 hours a day because that's all there was to do, you know, and I knew that this was my deliverance. So I would take a scripture. Now, Joshua said to stay in it day and night. Didn't he say that? And you would prosper. I would take a scripture with me, and I would take that scripture with me all day long. I didn't say I would take my Bible with me in my purse and pull it out and read the Word. I mean, the scripture was in me. And I would get up in the morning, and I would read the Word. I would read it. Not large portions, short portions of scripture. I would read the Word. And I would find a key verse that had ministered to me. And I would take that on the inside of me. Then I would find one word in that scripture. For instance, Psalms 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." All right, I would take that scripture and I would then cross-reference one word, refuge, or what I needed. I would cross-reference that word all the way through the Bible, refuge. And that's what I would think on day and night. That day. That's what I would think. That's the way I would do it. That was one way I would do it. Another way I would do it, meditate the word, was I would get a story in the Bible. Now, this is really important for you. If you are reading the word and you are getting nothing out of it, okay? This is really important. I would take a story. For instance, let's go to Mark chapter 10 and we'll do one. This was one of my favorite ones. Mark chapter 10, and we'll look over at verse 46. This time out Jesus. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have pity and mercy on me." And many severally censured and reproved him, telling him, "Keep still." But he kept on shouting out all the more, "You son of David, have pity and mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, telling him, "Take courage. Get up. He is calling you." And throwing off his outer garment, he leaped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And at once he received his sight and accompanied Jesus on the road. Okay, here we see a picture. Now, I would take a story like this, and with my mind, I would go to Jericho. I would picture Jericho, just how Jericho was. I can tell you right now what Jericho looks like to me. Everything about Jericho. Jericho was a big city. I studied it out to find out about Jericho. I would go to Jericho, and I would see the crowds of people, and Jesus walking in front of the crowds behind him. And this blind man is sitting over by the roadside, and as he's sitting over by the roadside, he hears this crowd of people all around. And he's going, "What's that, man?" And somebody said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And so this blind man, he does everything he knows to do. I mean, you know, he can't get up and run up there, can he? No, because he's blind. He can't get up even and walk up there to Jesus. So he does the only thing that he can do. He begins to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And his friends are over there and they're going, "Shut up, man. Who do you think you are?" That's what they're doing. That's what they're saying to him. "Shut up. You ain't worth nothing. Keep your mouth shut. Be quiet. Shh." And Jesus looked over and he called him. But I want you to notice in verse 50, "And throwing off his outer garment, he leaped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said, 'Master, let me receive my sight.'" Now we see in these days, when people were sick, they were labeled an outcast. They had to wear an outer garment around them, a yellow cloak they would have to wear around them. And this man was wearing an outer garment around him, and it labeled him blind. The world had labeled him blind. And, you know, I guess they said it was for help. So if you would see the blind man, if you would see a blind man coming, you could get out of the way, you know, or, you know, let him go first or something. I don't know. But anyway, he had this yellow cloak on him. And that yellow cloak labeled him blind. Well, you see, the doctors had labeled me manic depressive. And I was wearing a cloak with a label on it. And right across here, on that label, was manic depressive. So I would walk down the road to Jericho. I would do this. This is meditating the word. Y'all might think I'm crazy, but it works. I would meditate the word. This is what I'd do. I'd walk down the road. Oh, no, I would sit down. I would see Jesus coming, and I would sit down on the side of the road. Just sit right down, just like this. And I would go, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And and I would pull that label of manic depressive off of me. I would stand in front of the mirror and do that. Many days I did that. At night, when I would awake, before those thoughts could come to me and before I had to use my rubber band, I would begin to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And I would begin with my mind to pull that label off, throw that label off, throw that label off, over and over again. Do you see how you meditate the word? All right, then there was a third thing I did to meditate the word. I would take a whole verse, one whole verse of scripture that put power in me, that set me free. You know, one great one was, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give thee ease and rest in your soul." That was one of my favorite scriptures. And I would take that scripture and I would meditate it, night and day, night and day. Okay? That's how you renew your mind. You didn't know it was so much work, did you? That's why you ain't free. Because we have not really gotten in the Word like God said to do. Joshua said, meditate day and night. It doesn't matter what area of your life you need freedom in. I mean, it could be a little unforgiveness you just can't get the victory over. It could be that you're the kind of person that gets easily offended, all the time offended, and you know it's wrong, and you just can't get the victory, man. You know, maybe your body just won't come into line in one little place. There's just one little place your body will not come into line. And you know that Jesus loves you, and you know that Jesus wants to heal you. But it just won't come into line. Right here's the answer. How to be free. Get into the Word of God. Meditate the Word of God until you get the victory. Till you get it. And you know, if it took me 9 months to get the victory, total and completely set free by the power of the Word of God. I mean, for these little things, how long would it take? Maybe a day? Day or two? Maybe three or four? Who knows? Maybe a month. Is it worth it? You want to be free? You want to be set free by Him? Hallelujah. In that scripture over in James chapter 1, it says here, it goes... Verse 22, it says, "Obey the message, be doers of the word, and not merely listeners, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself, then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer, he shall be blessed in his doing, in his life of obedience." That is the truth, church. That right there. The Word of God is a mirror to you. And when you take this Word and you begin to look into the Word of God and you look, it becomes a mirror to you. You're looking in there and you're seeing Jesus. And then you leave that mirror and you go out and you begin to reflect that. Transformation. That's what it is. Transforming you to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I almost had the victory. It was the end of February. That darkness would try and come to me. And the Lord would say the strangest thing to me. And I've told you this before. While those demon powers were just coming at me, you know, I could feel them coming at me, and I knew what to do, and I knew how to keep them back, and it didn't bring fear on me before, and I didn't go into a trance. But the Lord would say the strangest thing to me. He would say, "Ye are mighty." Isn't that true? That would just about blow my socks off. I mean,
mean, here I was, this little bitty puny thing, laying up here in this bed, you know, with the demons, the powers of darkness coming against me, and the Lord would speak to me, and he would say, "Ye are mighty." Isn't that true? He's trying to get me to agree with him. But, oh, God, I couldn't agree with that. I mean, it was just an area where I just couldn't get the victory. I could not see that. Even though I heard him say it, I heard him say it, I heard the word of it. I heard him say it over and over and over again to me. I couldn't see it. I was meditating this scripture right here in James chapter 1. This was the clincher. This was when the devil got under my feet. Well, this scripture right here in James chapter 1, that's why I used it tonight. I was meditating the scripture, and I knew that God was trying to say something to me from these scriptures. And I meditated it, and I meditated it. And the Spirit of the Lord said the strangest thing to me. He said, "Which one of your eyebrows is the thickest?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "Which one of your eyebrows is the thickest?" How many of you know which one of your eyes, do you know you have a thicker eyebrow? One of your eyebrows is thicker than the other? How many of you know which eyebrow is the thickest? See, we have three or four people that know which eyebrow is the thickest. Well, the Holy Spirit said that to me, and I thought, gee, I don't know. You know, 27 years old and don't have any idea which eyebrow is the thickest. I mean, I didn't know. Here was a person that had looked in the mirror at herself every day. I had, you know, combed my hair, put on makeup, whatever, looked in that mirror every day, and I didn't know which eyebrow was the thickest. Didn't have any idea. And the Lord said to me, he said, "You see, you are walking away from that mirror, and you are forgetting what manner of man you are." Did you get that? Are you with me now? See, I didn't know about my eyebrows, did I? Well, if the Word of God is the mirror to us, many times we can come to church, we'll hear sermons on faith, on prosperity, on peace and joy, and we leave this building and we forget what manner of man we are. See, when I went to that mirror to look at my eyebrows this time, I purposed in my heart that I was going to see which one. And then I did something. I purposed in my heart to do. And see, then the Lord showed me that's where I was missing it with mighty. When he would speak to me, he would say, "Ye are mighty." Isn't that true? He wanted me to act mighty. If I was mighty, God wanted me to act like it. And that was all she wrote for the devil. This is a key thing for people that are depressed and oppressed. We have people come in the healing line. I'll cast the devil out of them. Many times we've had this happen over and over. I'll say, "Come out!" And when I say come out, I'll know that thing has left. And I'll say, "Say I'm free." And this is what they go. They go, "I'm free." No, you're not free. You've got to be free. You got to act free, man. You got to go, "Hallelujah, glory to God, I'm free." Are you listening? But you try and get a depressed person to do that. You try and get, I mean, I tell you, I spent time and time again trying to get people that are depressed to do that. You can't make them believe they're mighty. It has to come by revelation of the Spirit of God. But I got it that day that I was mighty. And from that day on, the devil paid. Every day that he stayed at my house, he paid. I'm telling you, he would, those powers of darkness, I'd hear those things coming, and instead of laying there and going, and fear coming on me, I would leap to my feet. Didn't matter how hard it was, I would leap to my feet out of that bed, and I would start sticking the sword of the Spirit to that devil. I mean, I would stick it to him. I'd say, "In the name of Jesus, you get out of here, you foul spirit. I'll not put up with you." And cut him to shreds. That's right. And you see, That's the way we got to be.
About everything. Everything in our lives. I mean, the devil is the devil. He wants to steal everything from you. And he will if you're not mighty. Did you know that? I mean, you won't feel, I didn't feel like being mighty. I didn't feel like that, man. I felt like going to bed and covering my head up with a sheet or getting a bottle of sleeping pills and taking them all, man. Just leaving this place. But that wasn't what God wanted. You see, that wasn't what he wanted.
If you would like more information about this ministry or a complete catalog of teaching tapes and other materials, visit us on the web at mac-hammond.org or call us at 763-315-7200. Or you can write us at Mac Hammond Ministries, Post Office Box 29469, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55429.